All right, Sam, welcome back to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to make you like a regular. Any time I get a chance to put the mics on and the cameras on, like I want to make sure that Sam the plumber comes by and just drops some knowledge here is what's going on.
You're too kind, man. You too want to have me for multiple times. So that's great.
You're a wealth of knowledge, man. Like, I'm not saying that I'm ever going to absorb everything that you tell me, but the thing is, you're a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure that you get a lot of kids reaching out to you as well, too. I think everybody that I've ever interviewed knows who you are.
Oh. That's really
honestly.
Great. I try to put the word out there, not so much for my name. Well, you know, we're gonna push our name, Sam the Plumber and stuff. But, you know, and then the other people that are really great to us, manufacturers-wise, we're going to put that out as well. But these younger kids that are getting into there and they said they've heard of me, that's awesome because, you know, I've spoke at a couple of schools for career night and a lot of kids didn't know to get into the trade and kind of that route and stuff. And I said,
are they actively listening to you? Are they taking notes? Are they aware of the possibilities?
I think in the last couple of years, a lot of kids have way more knowledge about the trades than they have
than when you
the
got
decade
in.
Before.
Oh, so, even that recent, huh?
Like,
wow.
Yeah, like I'm just saying that there's so much knowledge. There's government grants to take some of these kids on. You know, the government's helping to subsidize a bit of the expense for a small business, a blue-collar small business. We're a small business. We only got two trucks.
Still. You got two trucks? How many employees? How many kids?
20 employees and one Honda Civic. No, just kidding. So
share the information. We're obviously, everyone knows that we're at the Doll booth at CMPX Show 2024, booth number 903. They've been kind enough to let us get this little stage here, which is great. And we just took parts of the studio from Oakville there and we brought them over here and we sit them down. But we got Sam the Plumber here on IG. Also the website, what is it? It's
Sam the Plumber Oakville.
Oakville. And I guess just before we got started, you were talking about how you're just starting jobs, projects that were booked a year plus ago.
Well, they were from last year. So we have two builds that we haven't even started yet, but they were signed back to us and confirmed in 23. So November, December, I think it was. So we've priced a few houses for this year as well, and we're just waiting to hear back on some of them. But there's still, I think, what I'm getting at is still a bit of a backlog from the year before and people wanting to get things done. And
financial backlog or just permit backlog or material backlog, all three?
I don't think it's a material backlog anymore, but the first two, absolutely. I think it's a combination of the two of them. I think material has really caught up. Nobody's waiting for any lumber or trusses from that we were doing up to
not now,
12 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty crazy back then.
Yeah.
But right now, I think material is caught up. There's no shortage, even in our pipes. I was starting to squirrel up some pipes. How am I supposed to do a house if I didn't have pipes? So we're not doing that right now. Everybody's got
Do you
material.
Ever catch yourself, Sam, sometimes on the job site where you're like, how many years have you been in the business now?
36.
You ever catch yourself and try to recollect what it used to be like and how it is today?
100%. I think I tell my boys every day.
It used to be this way.
Exactly.
You guys have it so good. It used to be this way. We didn't have any press.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't have any packouts. We didn't have any Milwaukee tools, man. No, nothing.
No, we had copper. We had a torch. And we had a lot of burns on our hands. Every time you got burnt, the journeyman would say, it's not going to be your last time.
That's what he always hear?
Yeah, for sure. Because you're going to keep doing that stuff. And you're going to burn your hands and stuff. But now there's so much technology out there, you know, with this PEX pipe. You can really
what's the scars you get from PEX pipe?
No, not from copper, from soldering.
No. But what do you get from PEX? Nothing. You don't get any. What do you get?
You get maybe a little bit of wrist action.
That's
a little sore.
Crimping,
but any plumber is going to have some crazy freakish forearms.
Popeye forearms, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a part of the trade with the plumbing. You get these weird forearms, I guess, from wrenches or just Sawzall and stuff like that. So you form different parts of your body with different muscles for different trades, obviously.
Totally. It's always the case
100%.
Like that. Right?
So you're going to crimp it. You got the muscle to do it anyways. And so it works pretty good. But I did try the battery crimper. It's a little too big, you know.
Battery crimper?
So it's
from Milwaukee?
Yeah. So it crimps
just
PEX
seems,
B.
That seems heavier.
It's just like a press tool. It actually looks like a press tool. It's very similar, but you can't press copper with it, but you can only press, so
of
to
course.
Speak, press ring.
Why would you want to make a tool that would press both?
Right.
That makes no sense.
Right, exactly. So the The one for PEX B for the battery is about $1,000, and the other one's
$2,000. Oh, so, man. That's anyways. Milwaukee's R&D department just getting a little local.
Well, you know what? For sure, you can talk about the manufacturers and the tools, but I'll tell you, those guys are making it a lot easier for us these days.
They're saving your bodies.
For sure. Totally. They're saving our bodies. You got a few $100 in money you're investing in the tool, but that tool... You know, if you buy the better end of stuff, the higher end of the stuff, you can drop it a couple times. It's still gonna do it. But at the end of the day, you gotta lube it, you gotta clean it, and most people don't really do that. They just say, "Oh, it doesn't work after a year and a half. I've been drilling sand for the last year and a half," and complain and stuff. But it's all about TLC.
Have they taken care of you guys with the clips? Because I know the electricians have their battery powered clip system now for all their cabling, but they don't have clips for your PEX now. Have they designed an automatic clip? It's just still hammer and nail, right?
It's still a hammer and clip. We smash it in with a hammer.
But they have it for the hydronics, don't they? They have that little gun, that little tool that can staple all the hydronic lines.
I don't know. What are you talking about? Like a stapler that you can put on? I haven't even seen it,
crown stapler on it.
Probably.
I just assume with your PEX lines, you guys are constantly putting those clips.
To be honest with you, I haven't even seen that thing. So.
Bet you it's in R&D right now.
Maybe.
It has to be. Maybe. Milwaukee's working on that one. They have to be, man.
Yeah.
So you tell the kids they, but it's good to educate them on that, right? To understand where it came from.
Oh, for sure. It's knowledge is key. Without knowing about the tool, how you even know it's out there to want to go buy it? So you got to get the word out, and you know, and then people can understand it.
How are the clients these days? I know that I was passing by that one job site you were showing me, and you had a minor issue with the toilets, and I agreed with you on it. But I mean, like, we were seeing all kinds of plumbing action going on there, and clients are asking for so much stuff nowadays. It's gone are the days when you got started, when it was like really simple, man. Shower, toe tester.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good topic, Manny, because that's what it was back in the day. When I started in 1988, somebody once said they wanted a shower. You knew they were getting a Moen shower valve with one head and a friggin' tub spout with a diverter. There was some of the higher end stuff.
That was high end stuff, right?
Yeah, and that was the go to stuff.
There was polish chrome, chrome polish, whatever.
Right, yeah. And chrome's still in, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
I thought it was rose gold. I thought it was all rose gold these days.
Rose gold is black is done? And chrome. Those are the three
those
colors.
Those
are the three colors that are pretty much dominant in this year. But then you get variations from that gold. You can get brushed gold. You get this gold. Different manufacturers have different names. They can't use the same name as the other manufacturers. So. Colors are great. I like black, but I'm telling you, chrome is still great. The most inexpensive one is chrome, and it looks great.
And it lasts, and it's easy to keep clean.
100%.
I mean, black is a funny animal. It depends on whose it is.
It scratches quick, too. You got to be careful with that black. You put
water
them pliers
marks.
On it. 100% water
about
marks.
Hard water.
Yep,
all
sure.
The calcium on it.
Black will not. I always said the best looking car is a black car on the day that you wash it. And then the next day, it's the dirtiest car because it shows everything.
Because it shows everything.
Absolutely.
That's why I explain to any client that's always telling me, let's go with black fixtures. I go, do you have a black car?
Yeah.
How often do you keep it clean?
A lot of people got a black car.
It's just how it is, but I mean, like, do you think that there's too many options on the market right nowadays? Like,
oh, 100%.
Is confusion at that point?
I'm going to say this 100%. That's such a great question because
I think there's way too many.
I think the best way to answer that is when I first started, like we were talking about, joking about the Moen single head and toe tester. And over the years, you know, everybody started making their own kind of shower systems and stuff. And it's great. And there's some really good ones out there, you know. Ryobel, House of Roll.
Yeah.
It's one of my faves. I mean, not just that it's Canadian, but it's easy to service. And there's one thing sticking out of the wall. So you're going to pay your plumber to rough in one valve that has three things, on-off, temperature, and diverter in one control by Ryobel.
It's a good idea, man.
Right.
It makes sense.
So then if you don't want that, you want the old style, you want the other knob, volume controls, different diverters and stuff. Well, guess what? You're going to pay them more money to buy all the extra parts. You're going to pay the plumber
more money
to install.
Yeah.
My quotes are based on one shower valve to rough it in.
Yeah.
I'm a fair guy. I'm not going to charge you for three volume controls and six heads when we're only doing two and one body. So anyways, getting back to the other stuff, there's a lot of knockoffs. People are going online to buy stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm okay with online purchases.
I'm not. I can't stand Wayfair. I can't stand Amazon.
Let me finish. Let me finish. So I'm going to say I am an online purchaser. Sometimes when I need stuff, it's great.
Oh, no, I love that too.
Yeah, but and so some of these no-name things that you don't know, I only tell people, don't get something that you don't know that is not based in North America and stick it behind a wall and tile over top of it. You want to buy a, I call them no-name offshore product, and it's just a faucet, no problem. That thing's going to die one day. Everything mechanical breaks down one day. So when it does, and there's no replacement part for it, and I've been in that situation, it's disposable. I have to tell the customer there's no replacement cartridge. I don't know what the name of this thing is. Nobody has one. Nobody knows what it is. And they're saying it's an offshore product, and you guys just got it maybe online or some company or something. So I have to cut it out and throw it out and replace it. But that's fine on a countertop. But behind a wall, why would you? Like, why would you?
You're like looking in the closet in the room.
Yeah,
next
you
to
have
it.
To go behind. You don't want to smash
this,
tile.
You don't want to deal with any of this.
You're going to cut it open behind. You can do it from the front, but you know, it's one or the other.
Are you a fan of Kohler?
I am a fan of Kohler. The thing with Kohler is like I'm a pretty blunt guy. Kohler's all threaded. It's all thread stuff.
Yeah.
I got to buy all the adapters. I got to thread it. It's going to take me hours to do it. And guess what? I tell people when you go buying Kohler, I'm going to charge you for the time and the adapters that I have to get for it. If you can't give me a shower valve that is compatible, in our quote it says we're going to do PEX A, PEX B, whatever we're going to do. We need that shower valve to have the adapters onto it. And some of the better companies can have the shower valve with the adapters on from manufacturer, not this threaded stuff that, you know, was invented in the 100 years ago.
The only reason I bring it up is because I personally have like a Kohler, and I think it was about 11 years later. So I did a Frankenstein thing. You remember Kohler when they had, let me get to the bathtub and then a sink. You remember when Kohler had the carbon faucet?
Carbon?
Yeah, that.
Nope.
It was like a joint thing. It was like it almost looked like a braided line, and it had elbows on it, and it was a really funky looking kitchen faucet.
Oh, the kitchen faucet. Yes, I think I remember that one.
So I did a Frankenstein thing where I liked the joystick of it.
Yeah.
So it was just a
very
joystick.
Cool.
It was a very cool joystick. So I actually MacGyvered a joystick with a tall faucet on it. So I did it on my own.
That's
explained
awesome.
I explained it to Kohler. I'm going to do this. They're like, if you do this, you're going to avoid the warranty. I got the T-fitting, the brass fitting. I got all. I made it work. It didn't leak. It was all perfect. But now you fast forward 11 years, and the joystick goes.
Mm.
And it's not working anymore. So something's broken. So I call Kohler up, and I'm like, guys, my joystick's gone. It's like 11 years old.
Let me know the parts to fix it. I got to fix
it. No. So she says, okay, well, hang on a sec. Let me just email you. Is this the right part? I'm going, yeah. She ships me the cartridge and the new joystick.
Oh, yeah. Free of charge.
I unthread it free of charge. I put the new one in. Works beautifully again.
Yeah, that's perfect. And that's a manufacturer that really stands behind their product.
They stand behind their product.
Just send it over to them. We always tell people if you're the homeowner, you call them. Because you're probably going to get them for free. Don't let the plumber go. He might get them for free. I'm not saying that some people do this, but I've heard that they'll get free parts and then charge the customer for it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you don't want to do that. You know, I tell people, listen, you're the homeowner. Give them your home address. They will ship it right to you. Any reputable manufacturer based in North America will do that. And maybe some from the other side of the world, too. I don't know.
My point is, you bring up a really good point, is that it doesn't matter how beautiful that bathroom is, that setup, that kitchen, whatever it is. At some point, that faucet, that fixture, that something is going to fail and need something. So
1,000,000%
to cheap out at the beginning, find something that's no name, what are you going to do? Are you going to break tile at that point? You're going to try to figure out how to get back in there, cut it out? Like, what are you going
to
do?
So I know a lot of people like to use the big oval hole on the top. Say you can't get in behind.
The Frisbee? You're talking about the Frisbee.
Okay, the Frisbee. I call it the WWE wrestling belt, okay? So
that's what I'm going to call it from now on. It looks massive, man.
So I prefer to cut a hole behind. Not that I don't really like to work in a swirl hole, but if I have to, I will. But I'm going to cut it open from the back.
If it's
a closet, it's just drywall.
It makes more sense. You can
just screw that. You don't need to do plastering to put it back on. But you're going to go out there, you can take that circle out and put it on there. But some faucets are really old school, so the walls are from the 60s. You're going to have to use the WWE belt and put it on there. And number one champion.
I know, eh?
Champion.
You could put your loofah brushes on the side or something.
Yeah, just make it decorative. Make it look good. But, yeah, I mean.
But these are all the things that I guess homeowners don't think about. I guess new trades that are coming into the industry don't think about. They just think about the shiny new coming out of a box. Well, and all of a sudden, I'm going to install this.
To be honest with you, I don't know why the homeowner really would have to. They can do, they have Google so they can search it. But they don't really need to know ins and outs of everything. They're pretty busy as it is. What they need to do is to hire the right trades. And if they hired me, I would guide them. I tell people with all these, we do custom homes and we do all these homes, and I'm almost adamant now that I need three things sent to me. And one of them is a fixture book. And I like to have it before. Let me see what kind of manufacturers you're thinking, you know, and let me see what you want to do and stuff. You know, can I save you some money on this? You know that if you do this, it's going to look like this. And that's where the homeowner should really look into the value, is hire the right trade. Don't go for the cheapest plumber. Don't go for the cheapest electrician or anything like that. And don't that if we're a difference of $2,000 and you want to cheap out, save that $2,000. $2,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guarantee you that's for a whole home. That $2,000 might come back to bite you in the ass, and you're going to probably spend a lot more than $2,000. You're going to have problems for the next few years. You could have some problems if they didn't do it right. And you know when those problems happen? On a Friday night, Sunday, some guy comes in and charges them three times the rate to come and fix it because
when there's a rough patch in the marriage.
Right. Exactly. You know,
there's all kinds. Are you seeing more of these fixture books? Because I love the idea of a fixture book. Is it from the homeowner or is it from the designer?
I don't care who it comes from.
Somebody's
going to make me one. Okay. You want me to come to your house?
You want the room?
Yeah.
Faucet, toilet, shower, whatever.
Absolutely. So what it's called, I call it the fixture book. Some other companies call it a schedule or whatever they want to call it. But here's the scoop. Plumbing and residential, they show a toilet on the second floor and they don't tell us how to get it down there. Plumbing and electrical, there's no design. We are completely design build. HVAC, you know, they work hard too, but their HVAC says the size of it and it says where it's got to go. Yes. There's no questions. Just run it that way. So
you guys need to figure out that whole path.
What I'm getting at is I need three emails. The first one I'm going to tell you is an email with the address of the house, and it's called the fixture book. And that fixture book will contain the manufacturer and model number per fixture per room. So bedroom number two has a three-piece, and we're going with this toilet, this faucet, this sink, this shower valve, and these two heads. Bedroom number four has this. So we want a schedule, and we don't care where it comes from. We've had people say, oh, our supplier doesn't do a fixture book. And I said, so?
You guys do it.
You can do it at night.
You spent the time at night while you're watching The Bachelorette, and you guys were deciding on which fixtures to go with.
Right.
You've already chosen your fixture book. You just need to make a copy and send it.
Just send a copy. I'm not asking for it super nice PDF or something. I'll take scratch notes. Write it on a friggin' napkin that you had it. Just tell me what you're doing.
Manufacturer.
I'll make it work.
Model.
Yeah. So
where it's going.
That's the key. Manufacturer and model number per fixture. Now, I've had some people go to some of these little boutiques, and they said, it doesn't really have a model number. Just has a name or something. I said, well, I think you should be a little bit beware of that first off. That's a red flag right there.
Yeah.
You need a manufacturer and model number, and you kind of want them based in North America. It's just so you can have a phone call to call them up and say, hey, it's 5 years, it's leaking now, can I get a new part? Can I buy a new part? You know, if they give you a free one, that's great. The second thing that we need is a cabinet specs for a custom home. We want a cabinet specs per room. And I don't want the from the wall to the center of the faucet. I'm not an electrician. I don't care where the center is to put my light fixture in the middle. I want to know the left side of the gable and the right side of the gable of that box.
Yeah.
And I'll decide where the plumbing's going to come through.
Yeah.
I've had these high-end cabinet companies, and I had my drain off-center by the 5 inches that I do because I swing it, and they said, the drain's in the wrong spot. And I said, what? I tried to explain to them on the phone that...
But you're swinging. Can you tell people why you're swinging it, though?
Absolutely. So the reason why I swing it, because every sink, if you look at a rectangle sink, could be dead center of the drain, or the drain could be center back.
Yes.
And if you put the drain center on that drain and you're center back, your P-trap's going to be some Frankenstein-looking curve trying to get around there. You're going to be hooked, and you're going to be sweating trying to figure out how to hook this up. Where I find is most of the cabinets now have drawers. So what I do is here's the center of the sink.
Smart.
I put it off to the side. And when I glue my trap in, I don't go straight. I glue my trap in from the beginning sideways on the back wall. And then we come up and we pick up the sensor.
What does that do, Sam?
It gives you a rectangle drawer instead of an ugly ass C drawer that you can only put toothbrushes on either side.
Bring in the jigsaw. Let me cut a little notch out of here that's just going to magically fit around this P trap that's centered.
We've had some millwork companies that actually cut the center out before I even did it. And I did it back there and they had to replace the drawers. They
said, because it was like, there's a hole here now.
Yeah.
Something's falling through all the time.
It gets back to you. Just hire the right trades. We'll talk about it. Let me see what it is. And the third and final email that we need an appliance specs. Yeah. We need appliance specs. Now I need to know if the fridge and freezer call for water. Now I need to know, like, this house we're doing, it's got a $25,000 stove. It requires water. There's a steam feature. And they have a steam wall oven that also takes water. So I have two ovens in the kitchen that take water. Imagine finishing the job.
In-wall espresso machine or cafe station.
$8,000 and you need that water line. Sometimes they need a drain.
They always forget the water line.
Right.
Always forget
it. So who looks like a doofus cutting open drywall? The plumber, because not they that he didn't miss it. They didn't tell him. They didn't tell him that they bought the $8,000 beautiful coffee machine that requires water and a drain. Now what are you going to do? Now you're going to cut open the wall. Now you're going to be subjected to looking like that. I've had people say, it's okay, Sam. If it's an extra later, I'll pay the extra $200 to get you here.
It's not the extra thing. Yeah, it's the headache of damaging work that's already been performed.
Right, and I'm going to sign my name to it. What I've built is Sam the Plumber. Just give me the three things that I need, and I guarantee you it'll be a smooth process, and you'll make the final decision. I will say to you, maybe don't buy this, but if you do, that's fine. I'm not one of these to dictate, it's made offshore and I'm not going to install it. I will install it, but I'm going to send them an email and say I'm only going to install it once.
There's
and
if a we have notation to do it twice, attached to it.
Yeah, you
got to
know
that.
If it doesn't work properly and you need a truck.
You're being hired because of your skill and your experience and what you know is good. You're not dismissing any product. You're educating every product.
I'm letting them know I'm only doing it once. And if I got to do it twice, you're going to pay me twice.
Of course.
This quote is based on doing everything once, not twice. So we try to be reasonable. But, Manny, We're on a job. We let them go. We don't charge for everything because people, GCs don't like the extra charge.
But just stupid little things like that can be avoided. Why not?
100%.
I want to interview a GC one day on the show that has not cut out any drywall after those stages, right?
Well, I can tell you, the ones that have, and I've got a few GCs that we actually, they have a few of the same trades, me being one of them, and we see each other all on the same job. We've done like seven houses together. And that GC has not cut and opened any walls because he's paid for the proper trades that anything arise. Man, when I see something, I give him a call. I say, hey, listen, this is going to be a bit of a problem and stuff. We try to revert get away from any problems. There's going to be challenges. You just don't want more. You know.
What are some of the things that you're seeing? I remember that I was doing a project and we were dealing with a living wall. And so all of a sudden the plumber got involved, right? Because obviously you have to bring a source, but you also have to have a drain.
Yeah.
Then you have to have a trap seal primer for that drain because that drain's not constantly being replenished or what have you. But ultimately it was kiboshed because of the expense of the actual plants and the planters, right?
Right.
So they just said, we're going to put on hold. And it was such a devastating put on hold moment. Because you had a stub out for the water supply.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You're just going to sit there and be like, okay, well, I thought you guys wanted to do this green wall, which was such an amazing idea, and you wanted to add to the house and breathability and, you know, filter your air inside here, which is great, but never did it. And I was like, I understood it. You're getting a lot more clients coming up with, I mean, there's like steam showers, you're getting saunas, you guys are getting involved. And like, the espresso is the one, I know the Mealy. I know that I know I go to Hanstone and I go to the
beautiful
showroom.
Machine.
It's a beautiful machine. It's a ludicrously expensive machine.
But it's nice.
It is so nice.
I know. Push of a button. What flavor? What size? What kind?
It is so nice, but it's so expensive. But then, water source. But then, I guess, what else? Are we going to get to a point where you're going to get involved with mist lines over the deck or something like that?
That's a really good point. So when I found the first water line to a dryer, I was thinking, holy, what is this world coming to? We need water in the dryer. I thought we wanted to dry it, not make it wet. Remember, I'm a plumber. I'm not a friggin' scholar or nothing.
We steam.
So I had to find out. And then steam, anti-wrinkle, little water line. I was like, okay. But, you know, recently has been a water line to the gas stove. For the oven. So they have the cooktop, but we had to put a water line on this. This is a Mealy stove. I think it's a six burner and I think it's a dual oven on the bottom. But there, we got to hook up a water line to the bottom because you can hit a program, put a chicken in there, and it's going to shoot some water and make it mist and super juicy. Just like the wall oven that's 3 feet over that also needs a water line and a drain to the wall oven because it's a steam oven. Both are steam ovens.
So are you, is it mechanically speaking the same thing as a dishwasher, I guess? So you're...
Yeah, you need a drain and a water line.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's all news to me.
Yeah, same size too, 3/8, not like a fridge quarter inch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need a little valve down there, and the stove has a mister, and the wall oven, the steam oven, they're both steam ovens, also has that. So, yeah, listen, I don't have one. I only hooked them up, but I think what it does is it. Really,
I haven't tasted the chicken yet, so I don't know.
Who doesn't like dry? Nobody likes dry chicken.
But if it's making juicier, then sure, great. Will it work for a turkey? I guess it kind of makes sense to do that. But
I think everything
pot fillers, 100% pot fillers,
1,000,000% of pot fillers. Us Italians like to boil a lot of water, or even if you like corn, you got to fill a pot. I mean, I
100% agree with pot fillers.
If the sink is on the same line,
then that's different.
So
you're going
from there to there.
That's all you're doing. Right. Which is totally right. Yeah.
But you're going from a peninsula, and you go around the corner, and you got a big pot. Listen, you could drop it. You could hurt yourself or something. Nothing like pulling the pot filler. And they're a lot less expensive than they were.
They
like,
used to be.
Say, like 8 years ago. When they first came out, they were a couple of grand each. Now you can get some reasonable. And then you get into colors. You go chrome. Standard kind of, I shouldn't use the word standard. I can't believe I even use that. Use it standard on a pot filler because it is a standard half-inch thread. But there is no such thing as a standard sink. There ain't no standard sink. Everything's different.
All the kitchen sinks are different these days.
Everything's different. You know, like, you know, does the kitchen sink have two faucets? We've done those too.
What about the extra faucets where it's like you got homeowners asking for hot water dispense?
Yeah.
Room temp dispense.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going
filters
on?
Filters underneath.
Filters.
You know, there's a lot. Like, again,
so it's no longer like one faucet. Like at the most, sometimes you had a soap dispenser, but now you got a soap dispenser, hot water.
How about two
water.
Soap dispensers? We just posted one.
Why the two? One for moisturizer, one for soap?
I think it's one's ketchup and one's mustard. I'm not sure. I don't really like relish.
You know what? That would actually make a lot of sense, man.
That would be cool.
I'm
but anyways,
you.
I think what it is
your guests that come by to go wash their hands and all of a sudden they got ketchup.
Hand cream. My wife does it too.
Mayo's over there. You got a whole condiment station right there.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be so cool? But anyways,
I'm telling you, there's something there, man.
Dish soap and hand moisturizer. So just a little, after you do dishes, your hands are wet, a little pump of that. And
kind of makes sense until you actually pour the wrong one into the wrong one.
It depends if you need moisturizer on your hand. My wife, she's got them all over the place. She's always pumping it. She always likes it like moist and stuff like that. So on my kitchen sink, I got a...
moisturizer everywhere?
Yeah. So, you know.
What else is there that's out there these days? I guess... the motion faucets. Do you like them? I don't.
Yeah, so...
You like them?
I keep shutting mine off, so I just put one in. So,
I don't find this action that hard to do. You know what I mean?
I don't.
I get it. Your hands are dirty at one moment in your life.
Manny, it's a funny story. I'm like 3 weeks in on this faucet. I keep shutting it off. My son and my wife keep saying, we keep going like this and nothing's happening.
Because it's like...
Yeah, and so I'm like... So mine isn't a touch, it's a wave. Motion.
You wave in front of it.
It's got a little screen and you just kind of wave something in front of it. And
okay,
it picks it
but
up
it
and
has
it
to be,
on.
The faucet lever has to be on.
No, it can be off. You know. Oh sorry. Yes, it has to be in the temperature and the volume setting that you want. So when you hit it, it's that warm temperature at that volume coming out.
Yes,
you have to have it on. So what I keep doing... I'm like, it's okay, but it's not okay. I got 55 years of my life going like this, and now I got to change. So I shut it off, and the two of them are like, who keeps shutting this off? I'm trying to leave it on.
They like it. Do you like it?
I do like it. I like both. To me, it doesn't really matter.
Is it run off batteries or run off of hard line?
It's got a battery pack.
So the battery thing, I never understood because you have to replace and how many times do you
100%.
Want to dig underneath there
right.
to get
and
to it?
Batteries are, you know, not really eco-friendly either. Unless you got to dispose of those things. You just squirrel up your batteries. Go to the dump and there you go to that hazard place. You're painting your batteries.
The paint goes, the oil, all that stuff.
Let them seal it in a barrel or whatever they do. I don't know what they do.
But
with
if you could hardwire it and plug it in, it's a lot
absolutely.
Better, right?
But you got to remember, batteries these days, everything doesn't even take much juice anymore. You put batteries under there. I think I had a customer said it ran for like 2 years before it changed. These batteries, you look at them, they say expiry in 10 years from now. I don't know.
I remember Kohler introducing a battery activated toilet.
Battery.
So you would just want
motion sensor.
Motion sensor.
I thought it was a great idea.
I thought it was a great idea until they showed me how it got the power. So the battery cartridge was inside the toilet tank.
Yeah.
And I just said
to
them,
hide it somewhere.
I said, nobody actually wants to lift that up to begin with.
Yeah.
So why do I want to lift that up and change these batteries 6 months from now?
100%.
And it never really flew in.
It didn't fly, man. We had, I think we did one. I thought it was ingenious when it came out.
I thought it was a great idea.
I wanted to put it in every one of my...
Illuminated nighttime, night lights seat
as
well.
I like night lights.
I like the night lights. They're really clever, especially when the sun goes down and you see it come up.
Yeah.
The toilet seat. But again, with the toilet, it was battery activated.
Yeah.
And you had to go into the tank to get it.
Yeah.
The only time you go into the tank is when you clog something or you have to change an actuator or whatever.
For sure. I mean, I think it was more catered for more convenience for the local tradesmen to have it, but not so much the homeowner. Homeowner don't want to deal with that coming home, lifting up the lid on the tank and trying to fish out
the battery.
Yeah,
we'll do it all the time. We'll probably check it on a weekly basis, see if
for
it's
sure.
working fine, eh?
If I go to your place, I'm going to lift your lid. You got a battery back in there? You know, just
I'll put
look.
Some new energizers in there. Don't worry. I got them right here.
It's the weird thing about us tradesmen. Go to the bathroom
or
restaurant and you come
back
and
rounds,
say, hey, did you see that?
Well, you know what? I guess heated seats are becoming the norm. Bidets are coming the norm.
So
are they?
Handheld. No? So you got the handheld and you got the seat. I tell people, just get the seat. Put the seat on there. Have some hydro right there. Plug it in. Then you got, not only do you have a warm seat, not only do you have the spray, but you have a warm seat, a nightlight built underneath. You got a fan. You got a blow dryer. You know, like, I mean, these things, fan and blow dryer, same thing. But anyways, the point that I'm saying is it's plug and play. And once it dies.
No, it's two different things. They have a fan that sucks the odor out, and then it has a blow dryer that actually wipes everything.
Right, so that's right.
Everything.
So it does have the two of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a charcoal filter in there,
yes.
So when it sucks it out, it's not stinky and stuff.
Yes.
And listen, I think it's a great idea, because when that thing fails, again, it's mechanical, it will break one day.
It will.
Everything, just like brakes on a car. Anything mechanical is going to break down one day. Anyways, the point that I'm saying is you could just unplug it and replace it. Some people don't want that. They want the actual handheld, and they want it. I think it's part of their religion is what they're telling me. I've tried to tell them, let's just get the seat.
That's more of a European thing, eh?
Maybe they want to reflect the thing, but one gentleman told me it's part of his religion. He cannot use that other seat. He needs a hand. He's physically got to hold it in his hand. Listen, I didn't Google it. And this is what the customer wants.
To each
no problem.
His own, I guess. Yeah.
When he told me he wanted that, I said, listen, you probably just don't want cold water. So why don't I rig up a little mixer and just do a tempered water. So warm water on that handheld. Now, obviously, he's going to blast it for a little bit to get it going, to get the warm going there. But at least it's better than cold. And some people like that.
I just discovered, first of all, about that. Nothing's better than sitting on a warm toilet seat.
100%.
In the 4 o'clock in the morning, cold winter morning.
Sure.
That's like the best, man.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, like, that's like a heated steering wheel on a car.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you turn it on?
And when you take it away and you just sit down and you're like, it's almost the same time, like, you know, I got so used to comfort high toilet seats.
Yeah.
They should have introduced those things a long time. And then sometimes I go to a friend's house and you sit down and you all of a sudden you drop.
Well, the reason is we're bigger people now, right, Manny? That's why it came out. In the last little while, instead of 15 inch bowl, instead of now we're 16 and a half, it's an inch and a half
I know,
is the number.
But that little
makes a
you
huge
think you're
difference.
Falling down to hell. Like,
oh,
it's
I
just
know.
Like it's a.
Me
I,
too.
Today I just discovered across the hall here, they have, you know, that Aquar.
Aquar.
The
hose bib.
The hose bib.
Frost free.
They have a hot cold version now, hydrant that they just launched.
Wow, that's awesome. That's
so
really
you
great.
Can have hot water, I guess, outside where you want to wash your car. With
wash your
water.
Car or you want the hot water to build a rink in the backyard. You know, you need warm water. So
warm water.
How much is it going to cost you? Just you're going to already have a frost-free hose bib there. And I tell my customers some of these. I always, and again,
I love
hire
them.
The right trade.
I think they're great.
I put two frost-free hose bibs on my job. All of them. When I'm pricing this job, I don't know the people from a hole in the wall. I don't even know if I'm going to get the job, whatever. So I just try to base it on giving them everything they need. And if they want to take away something, I'll take money off. If they want to add something,
we
can.
Be done.
We want to add something. So at the end of the project, you got it. So when we're doing a hose bib, I always say, you want a hot and cold in the garage? Do you know that a lot of them are opting for that hot and cold in the garage?
I think it's a brilliant idea. The only thing is, you know what the price tag is?
Well, I'm not sure on that specific model,
it's
but.
$1,000.
Yeah. No, that's big cha-ching.
Yeah, it is big cha-ching. Because even their regular hose bib is like $200 or something like that. for their version.
For yeah, but you know what? You're also paying for convenience. So yes. That thing is basically you lift a flap, stick the thing in, and shut it off. You don't even have to turn it on and off.
You don't have to drain it.
It's live all the time.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
have to drain it.
Yeah.
You can pay for convenience.
That's all it is. But I think it's a brilliant idea. So that's what I'm just going at. I'm going with the plumbing. I guess back in the day, it was always just that one valve, one head, one toe tester.
It was so easy to price
today,
a job
it's
back
like,
in the day.
Are a lot of homeowners opting for the steam showers? They are opting for the steam showers, right?
We've done 4 in the last few months, probably. And they're all in different places. Either steam shower is going to be in the basement or the primary on the second floor. And you know what? It's a half a dozen to one. It's a split right down the middle. There's a lot of people that had their downstairs bathroom. That's where they want the steam. Maybe that's where their gym is, and that's where their
that
spa
makes sense,
is.
Yeah.
Who's got time to come home and go to the gym and the spa and stuff? People are just putting it in their own house. Get a machine, workout at home.
They're reasonably priced now.
They are reasonably priced.
You find the right people that know how to install it. You just got to find a place to put the generator.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You need access.
Access to it.
We've had a few people tell us we want it in this little squirrel hole, and I said, that's not going to work. It's not going to work.
You need bigger space, depending on the brand.
It's got to breathe, too. I've been to a few callbacks. People were having problems. It was getting too hot, shutting down, starting to leak.
What's the power consumption on that?
I'm not an electrician, but I think you got a little bit. I don't know the consumption, but that wire going up to it.
It draws.
She's a big fat.
I think
fat.
It's a 20 amp probably.
Oh, I think at least the 20
either,
amp.
It's going to either be a stove or a dryer.
Manny, you got steam in friggin' 10 seconds from cold water. 10 seconds.
You need power.
That steam generator, when that thing fires up, I don't know what it draws, but it's a pretty thick wire that the electricians run up to it. But it's instant. You push that button on there. And you got steam coming. It's a nice, really nice feature.
It's a healthy.
If you like it.
The only thing with the primary having the steam is that you are now limited on...
Who can use it?
Well, it's who can use it. It's full glass enclosure now.
Yeah. Well, with a louver on the top.
With a louver.
Yeah.
But you need to have full glass enclosure, right?
And you got to slope the wall.
And
don't forget.
Yeah. You got to slope or curve it.
And you know, only some of them... There's only like 10% of them slope the wall.
I see them flat, and I'm like, man, someone's
going to
get a phone
call. We just
did a house.
The guy's got a window in there with a flat roof, and he's got a window in there in the steam. That thing is going to be full of water just dripping down.
Yeah.
If they run it for too long.
Hot water.
Absolutely. Steaming water.
Yeah.
Like steaming hot.
That's why
sure.
It doesn't have, it has, it can't be flat. It's got to be curved around an angle.
Yeah.
Because of the drips, right?
Right. And we have one house that the homeowner himself went and made sure he put it on a slight angle. He's got Google. Just read. You know, don't leave it up to everybody.
But it's a design thing, right? They don't want it on an angle because everything else is straight, right?
Right.
But that's why.
Pros and cons with everything, you know. A lot of people say to me, you know, I don't want an access panel or something. Well, you know, I got to put one in. If there's a valve there, you need to service that thing. I'm not going to bury it behind the wall. You'll never know it's leaking until it comes through that ceiling below. That's where the water's dripping. So
see,
you got to do things to code. You got to do it right.
It's funny how your world has escalated dramatically regarding what the clients are asking for, but also it's also collided with the electrical world because now in showers, you're like getting accent lighting and niches, and you're getting all this.
I love those.
They're beautiful.
Accent lights is really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, under the sink. I went to go hook up the sink on this last job. I got friggin' 2 transformers.
You got drivers.
Right over there.
You got all kinds of. So now you get limited space, and then you've perfected your skill on the P-trap and flat against the back, and now you got the electricians coming in, and they're dropping everything.
And I'll
there.
Tell you, in all my terms, I never, those 3 emails that I need, there's no mention of me even asking, oh, are you doing accent lighting underneath that cabinet? I'm not going to ask because it hasn't been a problem for first off, so I'm not going to yet. But I have seen them take up a little bit of space right there. We worked around it. It was fine. There was zero issues. I mean, some of the terms on my quote, I think I'm up to 22 terms that I list.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't really share everything with that. But if I'm going to go into a job and I'm going to do your custom house, I want all the information. And if you choose not to give me the information or you choose to change what we agreed upon on the signed quote, like now you want, just say 5 toilets instead of 4. Obviously, the quote only says there's 5. So this is based, we list everything that we do.
Where are they adding another toilet if it's already built a certain way?
Well, we got a house that we just did. They had 7 bathrooms. They wanted 8. So on the first floor, there was a room. There was a first floor bedroom, and it was not a very big closet, and they wanted a 3-piece in that closet, and they changed it after. And we're doing that job right now. We just finished roughing it in. Now, the room is, it's not that big for a three-piece. The shower's pretty small. I think the shower's like 33.
Yeah.
And then there was a joist for the toilet, so we put a wall carrier in there to miss that joist against the wall. So that's 36, and it was left with 24 inches on the side before the wall. So that's the linear.
That was tight, man.
It was a closet.
Yeah,
I wanted a three-piece in there. So, you know, two-piece would be different. You'd have a little more room. But they also wanted the shower. So I think the shower worked out to about 32 for width by the 32 width, and the length of that shower was probably, it's probably 60 inches, so 5 feet, maybe just a little smaller. No, it was about 4 feet. It was a smaller one because it was a closet. I think it was about 4 feet. Anyways, it looks pretty doable and stuff, and, you know.
I think it's done. What's the best part for you, Sam? Like, is it still the same
getting
best
paid.
Part? Is it, really?
I love getting paid.
Getting paid for the skill that you've done.
You know what the best part is when you've finished your work and the customer or the GC recognizes the blood and sweat and tears you put in on this job and the after hours you put on it, you submit the quote or a draw on the job and they pay you within 5 business days. You know what, that's really nice.
They can,
it's very much, and doing something like that for a small business, a blue collar worker, just give me my money. Like, I've invested thousands and thousands of dollars over the last few weeks and stuff. Here's the bill to get it done. Paying somebody in a week's time is very admirable. They don't have to, and you know, but it just goes a long way for us hard workers, you know, just paying you. So that's the best part in terms of payment, but the best part is really looking back and completing the job from a hole in the ground, and these people moved in, and there's not one complaint.
Yeah,
I don't like that the shower head's over there. I don't like that the sink is, you know, spray. There's none of that because we talked it all out. The final product, they're happy. And now I'm starting to ask for a Google review. Just say a couple words. Say thanks, you know. That's all we ask for.
Are they being receptive?
I've just started. I want to make it easy for them. I want to find like a link.
Yeah.
It is. People are busy, and I don't want to bug them. I might ask.
But it helps you. It goes back to blue collar, mom and pop business. Small business
owner. My wife's helping me at night.
Yeah,
I got my three sons with me.
Exactly, right.
And I have my apprentice that came last year. He's just coming up to a first year. I call him my 0.5-year apprentice because he's so new.
Okay.
He hasn't even got a year.
0.5.
Well, it's not one. I think it's coming up in May. But anyways, he's doing great. And again, it's a small family business. And
so these little things, they help. They just help, right?
Absolutely. Because we don't have those little things. You know what that spurs? It spurs a phone call, an email. Hey, are you doing this? You doing that? All that time and money, you know where that comes from, Manny? From my profit.
Yeah.
I got it. I have a little bit of profit at the end of the job. And when I don't know what sink you're doing or what's happening, it costs me time and money.
It's a profit, man.
Yeah, man. You know, like we're a for-profit business. We don't want to give it away. And we're also building in 2024. And you start to build right now, you know what? That project's getting finished in 2025. So you better price accordingly. These guys undercutting everybody by a couple of grand here and there.
Not paying attention to where the market's going with material costs.
No.
Also, whatever. You got business insurance renewals happening, vehicle insurance renewals happening. You just got renewals, all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
You're not factoring that things are going up. You're losing profit.
In fact, that insurance is right now has been steadily going up every year. I just had this conversation with my insurance broker, and you know, he told me the new number for it. And again, I think it's about 250, maybe 325 more on the year. And I'm like, how does this keep going up?
They're doing it. They're just sneaking. Sneaking it in.
So he says, you know, let me take a look at it. I'll look into the market. Comes back about a week and a half later, says, you know, I checked it out. Other guys are more money. The best to stay where you are. What do you say? Okay.
That's all you can say.
We are fully insured. We have all our tickets. We're current with everything. You have to.
Because of what you're walking into. Exactly.
100%.
If something happens, the liability attached to that something is too great.
Yeah.
Way too great. Right? So it's like, do you think it's easier, Sam, today for a plumber to start and build the same way that you built it 34 years ago? You think it's easier today or was it easier back then?
Can you say the question again?
To start a business, to go on your own as a plumber, start your business.
And make money.
And make money from it. You think it's easier today to use the tools of today? And I guess you're encompassing social media. And, you know, let's say you're both the same level of plumber. You're getting started the exact same time, but two different time zones. You guys hopped into a DeLorean, mm-hmm. and you went back, and all of a sudden you're comparing notes, and you're going, was it easier then? Was it because it was, like, more relationships with builders or something like that? Or is there, like, more building opportunities today? I don't know. I don't know if it's easier. I don't know what the right answer is for that.
Well, I'm going to say I don't know what the right answer is either. And just from brainstorming in my head from you asking me that question, I think anybody can make it if they do it great. And what I mean by doing it great is, you know that if you cut corners, it's not going to be that great. And you could get a callback. So I think...
Callbacks cost money.
Callback costs money, and they cost your name. I built the name Sam the Plumber. Just give us the prints. Tell me what you're interested in. Tell me your thoughts. I'm not a mind reader. Just tell me everything, and let's discuss it, and I'll tell you. But at the end, I always tell them, you will make the final decision. Yeah, 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 yeah. You will make the final decision. But anyways, for somebody starting off, you know, the tools out there today is really making people and their jobs so much easier. There's some of these tools, if you invest in it, I'm Team Red. We have invested in that platform, which is the makes M18 sense. And the M12. Yeah, everything sense. Runs on it, and it works really good for us and stuff. So with the right tools and the passion, if you have it, to do it right and don't screw these customers, you can make it, but it's going to be a slow journey. Somebody told me a long time ago, this is a true story, he's a good friend of mine. He's my best friend, actually. And he's got probably 22 electricians. They're not subs. They actually work under his name.
Wow.
He does some pretty amazing stuff and goes around North America fixing stuff. But the point, he said to me when I first started my business, he said, Sam, it's a 10-year learning curve. And I said to him, 10-year? Yeah, well, I'm thinking in my mind 10-year. Maybe 3-year, 4 years. Man, I'm still learning today.
10 years.
I got 16 years in, Manny. I'm still learning today, and I try to just refine it. Hence the reason why we have a few terms. Just tell us, we want the fixture book. We want an appliance specs. You know, we want a few things, and we want to make it a perfect, successful job so that you're happy and I make a little bit of a profit. The bills are paid. The boys are paid. And I make a little profit to hold on to, because that's what I'm doing. Yeah. We're not a dot of work. We're a for-profit business, but at a fair price. I'm not going to get rich off one job and go get my Porsche. I know if I say that, it gets you laughing.
Because you plumbers and Porsches,
I'm more of a Ferrari guy myself, but whatever.
You know what? I love the fact that I'm seeing tradespeople buying their toys that they want to buy. They work hard. You should have those opportunities to buy these toys if you can. It's not hurting anybody, and if it's not costing a marriage, then by all means do it.
Yeah.
But I'd encourage, if it's a boat, if it's an exotic car, if it's a motorcycle, if it's a chalet somewhere, if it's another home.
Yeah, you're going to get peace of mind. You're going to be happy. Your life is going to be happy.
You worked hard like you're for missing that. Something. You were on site in the mud, trenches, running glue all over you, whatever. You were working hard.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
Your family deserves it.
For
right?
sure. Without it, you might be thinking you're missing out on something in life, and then you become grumpy, and then you say, you know what, screw this customer. I'm going to save $200 by not, I'm going to get some inexpensive stuff and put it in there. There is inexpensive material.
It's short-term crap.
Yeah. You're going to get, something's going to let go, you know, and he might be able to ride it to say he knew it was going to fail. He might be able to ride it and say, oh, it's going to, you know, do this, but listen, that's somebody who's not fair, and I think most people are fair people. Most trades guys, they're hardworking people. They get up at 6 o'clock, they're on site early, they're working hard every day, and some might charge more than others, and some might charge a little bit less, and it doesn't matter what vehicle they do. I started off in a car, my first one. My minivan came, my Astro minivan came.
Astro.
I wish I still had it. Was it white? I was lucky I found a white one. But I love that thing. I overloaded that thing. This rear suspension, you know, the coils?
Well, those are basically pickup trucks, man, with a box on it.
That's so, buddy, you know why they got rid of those?
Why?
That V6 engine was basically like a V8. All they did was chop off the two pistons on the end, and that engine was bulletproof. They realized that these things are going to keep running for years. They got rid of them so they could sell the full-size trucks, which were more money and stuff, and you got the V8s and the bigger engines and stuff. But those Astros...
Another great move by GM.
Yeah, exactly. Good old GM for that one. But anyways, yeah, you show up in your car, you're going to work. You're a hard worker. You're going to do what you can. Just don't screw anybody out of their money. Just tell them, listen, you can pick anybody you want to, but just be fair.
But Sam, why is it that most of the time I hear about trades, and I've done this too, is we always take the high road. So even though we're getting screwed over, we're taking the high road. I'll take care of it. I'll finish it. I'll eat the cost. I'll, like, why is it that we always have to?
Because you want that next job.
Yeah.
You know, there's a $300 extra.
We got to catch our train. We got to catch our plane.
Yeah, no. Exactly. You know, but.
No, I know. It's just, it's like I always feel like I'm indifferent about it because the thing is, like, I do it too.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's $300 if you're going to get another job from that GC?
Exactly.
That's exactly I got one GC. He says, Sam, I don't want to go back.
Same with the subs. I'm working with the subs. I'm like, I'm relying on you guys. You guys are delivering what I need to get done.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what? Sometimes you suck it up. And I know a lot of us do it so many times. But one thing I always tell people, if you sucked it up and if you did it for free, that's great. But let them know that you did it. I have one elderly GC that I admire that we've talked to many times and done a few projects together, and one time he said to me, and I was, you know, I did a few free work, did some free stuff there, and I didn't tell him, he didn't know about it, and then one day I said, you know, I've done this for free, done that free, why don't you want to pay this bill? You know what he said to me? He goes, Sam, I didn't even know you did those other two things free. If you do something free, you got to tell the person. Tell them, say, listen, I'm not going to charge you for this, but I did it for free. You make sure you tell the people that because they need to know. So what happens is there's other things that build from that. So you get the one freebie and the other one, hey, listen, you're going to have to pay for this one. It's just a fair thing.
It's 100% fair. I want to ask you, how's it working with the Suns? Is it good and bad or is it?
I'm going to tell you one thing.
They're probably going to listen to this.
For sure. I'm going to tell you, I love it. It's a dream come true for me.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, we have our ups and downs. Do we yell at each other or something? Not often, but it does happen. Sometimes we butt heads and stuff, but it's only because they're only being themselves. And,
yes.
And everybody needs to be themselves. But for me, listen, working with my three sons is a dream come true. I thought about it long, long, long time ago, and I said, no, it's never going to happen.
Never going to work, right?
Never going to happen. Yeah. How would I? I'm a dreamer, but that would be cool. And then it happened. You know, I got the first son, and then the second son came, and then son number three came, and he is imminent to being licensed. He's going to write his test. He's finished all his schooling. He's got his diplomas and stuff. So the third and final son, God willing, may be licensed sometime soon.
Nice.
And I think for me, it's really great. They keep telling me, you don't need to come in, Dad. But I like to put the boots on and go in the morning, get there, and just turn up the radio. Then I go on Instagram and they take pictures.
You can be the social media guy. Don't worry. We'll take care of everything.
It's a part-time job, but somebody's got to do it.
You should get a cardboard cutout of yourself and put it on the job site there. So you
no way. I'm going to be there.
Sam's still watching.
I'd rather be on site than sitting at home doing paperwork any day.
No.
But eventually
going to become Sam's sons? And plumbing, like
I'm gonna probably say never.
Okay.
It's always gonna be Sam the Plumber. That name that I've built is
huge.
Is a stamp. Yeah. It's a stamp just to
it's
let
a brand.
People know. It's a brand, man.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm an ambassador for a few brands and stuff, and I will put the name out there. But the first and foremost brand is my brand.
Yes.
I'm not gonna be that mule that you think you're gonna give me what, like $50 and do something. I'm kind of downplaying it and stuff like that. But it has to be a mutual thing. Any business, any great business is two sides.
Yep.
A lot of people call me. I still get it today. Hi, I need a quote for a house. That's all I got. It's in our region. I'm interested. But I always tell them. I send them like four questions. Send me your first and last name. Give me the name of the GC and the business address and or the website. Let me see the prints and let me know for the last, which is most important. Let me know the rough scheduled date for the completion of framing.
Those are four solid questions.
Yeah. So listen, if they're going to do it next week, I'm going to say, I'm not even going to price your job because I'm friggin' busy. I can't do it. So usually they get back to me and they'll answer the questions and say who we are and stuff like that. And then you get the ones that don't. They give you their address is the project address. You got one first name, and that's it. You know what those people are? They're just fishing.
Of course.
And they say, why do you... I've had people say to me, why do you need all that information? And I said...
That's not a whole lot of information.
Sir, you're able... You know I'm a family business with my three sons? And he goes, of course I do. I checked you out. I see that you've done a lot of jobs. I see what you do. Well, I said, the business side of it, I need to see what you've done.
Yes.
I don't know if this is your first house. Are you building it?
Yes.
You know, I need to see... I want to check you out. And if you don't want to tell me where you live... Can you imagine if you owed me $500 and I got a project address?
You're already
printing like
flags, man.
Come on. Like, just give me the info. You want to see my stuff? Let me see your stuff. It has to be a mutual agreement.
It's a two-way street.
You know, it might sound like I'm coming across as a little bit demanding and stuff, but I'm telling you, this is the standard that people don't know. You need to know the other side of the business to have a proper business side. You need these emails. We're going in to build a custom house. We're not building a shed in the backyard that it's going to be standard. Just go build. Let me know where
all
this stuff
is. Speaking of which,
is.
You ever put water in a shed?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure someone's going to ask you a hose bib, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, you might need a cappuccino machine over there.
That's what I mean. Cabana starts getting built on.
The cabanas with the wall-hung toilets, I've done those too.
A cabana with a wall-hung toilet?
Yeah, we've done two in the last little while. Yeah, for
you
sure.
Like wall-hungs? I don't like wall-hungs.
I only like Geberit as the carrier for the wall-hungs. Now, listen, it's about
cleaning.
Fit. The architect or the framer may make a mistake and they put a joist right on that line that we need to rough in that 13-inch toilet. Now, I know there's 10-inch rough-ins, 12-inch rough-ins, and 14-inch rough-ins. You can change them. The standard's 12. You're going to pay big bucks for some other kind of thing. But
there's no
when there's a joist
it.
There, instead of getting a framer back to move the joist, just put it in the wall, put a carrier in the wall, and just put a bowl. You can use Geberit, they only make carriers. They don't make bowls. Then you can grab American Standard, Kohler, any kind of brand.
And it will attach to it?
It's completely convertible to all other bowls.
Well, I didn't know that.
You can buy whatever cover plate and whatever bowl you want, you can pick that. There's many options.
I'm seeing the guys now, they're actually pulling off the porcelain cover plates. They're making them all CNC'd in and... So it's like it's
we did one that was glass.
Cool.
We did one that was glass. I think the guy
glass.
Said it was glass. I think he paid like $350 for this thing, or maybe it was more than that. Anyways,
fingerprints on it all.
We
the
put
time.
It on, but it clicked like crazy. What a sound! Click, 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 click. Anyways, he said take it off. He didn't want it on there.
Everybody's
going to
hear
one.
You click, click, click,
yeah,
click.
Yeah,
right?
It was a little bit on the loud side. But it was the first and only one that we saw. But yeah, there's many options as well as colors for that stuff.
I'm not a huge fan. They move a little bit. Like, it's just...
Mine don't move.
They don't move at all?
Not if it's a Geberit. You get an offshore wall carrier that have had plumbers reach out to me and say, Sam, I got flex behind there. It's flexing like an eighth or a quarter inch.
And it doesn't
inch.
Move, eh?
Mine don't move.
In a 2x4 cavity, or you need a
2x4? You don't need the 2x6.
You don't need a 2x6.
If they're
going
to sell you a 2x6 because they bought it like a few years ago and they're trying to get rid of it...
That's what they're probably
just
doing.
Just put it in a 2x4 wall. Most walls are 2x4. And you can stick a 2x4 carrier in a 2x6 wall. But you can't do the vice versa. And Geberit is the only one that can offset. So sometimes it's not a matter of going this way. Sometimes the joist goes the other way.
Yeah.
And then Geberit is the only carrier that you're allowed to swing it on any angle you want. It could be 45 degrees going through on an angle. Miss the joist and you plane out.
I've seen that. Yeah.
We've got around that. Some of that, like a Kohler, you can't. Going straight down. So if there's a joist there and you want that Kohler carrier, you got to move the joist to get that carrier in there. So... there's many options out there.
What are you looking forward to at the show here, man?
I'm looking forward to going to see my son. I'm pretty proud of him. He's over there at the social hub with all
the... Is he hanging out there? What's with the bars?
He got the younger guys all down there,
They're
younger guys and girls.
There.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm pretty proud of him. Tyler from Plumber's World, he's down there at the social hub. Yep. I'm going to go see him for a little bit, say hi to a few people. But I think the highlight of the show was seeing all these people and being on this show with you.
Thanks,
so,
man.
You know,
well, I'm glad that you can make some time. It's always a blast to see you and talk shop. Yeah. And I can always talk shop with you guys, man.
Yeah, that's great.
So thanks so much. I really appreciate it taking
the
time, man.
You're always welcome to come by on the site.
I'd love
if you
want
to see finishing or rough in or whatever stage. You
text me, let me know. I'll stop by.
Come when I'm doing underground. I got an extra shovel and I'll give you, and you can help me.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding you. I'll do it, man.
Yeah.
Sam, pleasure having you. Thanks so
My
much,
pleasure.
Man. All right. Enjoy the rest of the show. We'll talk
thanks
soon.
Very much.
Take care.